You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 2nd, 2020. Yes, a new year, a new decade. I could not be happier than to be sitting behind this microphone as we go toward November the 3rd. November the 3rd, Election Day. Oh, it's going to be great. With some of the latest fundraising numbers coming out, let's begin with Thank You Democrats. The Trump campaign blowing past the 2020 Dems with the latest fundraising haul. More than $100 million in the bank for the Trump campaign, pulling in $46 million in the fourth quarter, obviously fueled in part because of the backlash against the so-called impeachment efforts. $103 million war chest right now. Bernie Sanders is pulling in some money. He had a big haul in October, December. His campaign announcing he raised $34.5 million over the past 3 months. That's good money. Can't deny that. And they point out that they got 40,000 new donors received on New Year's Eve, the final day of the fourth quarter. And then you've got Pete Buttigieg hauling in just under $25 million in the final 3 months of 2019. That's also big for him. He now has more than $76 million since he launched his campaign early 2019. By the way, you can no longer call him officially Mayor Pete because as of Wednesday officially, his term as a mayor of South Bend expired. Not that he cares, but it's a fact. So there they go. They got all the money lined up. And Fox News did a survey of some betting experts, I guess, and they were trying to come up with where are the odds? Where are the odds being placed on this 2020 election? And when it came down to the final decision referenced Donald Trump, apparently a coin flip as to whether Trump will or will not be reelected, around 47-48%. You have to keep in mind, betting odds change rapidly, depending on different things, and sometimes folks put money on what they don't expect to happen anyway, because that's where you really make the money. If you bet on the sure thing every time, you're going to get paid for what you should get paid. But if you pick the dark horse in a race, or you pick somebody that had no chance whatsoever, and they end up winning, wow. You know that, of course. Look at it, the Blues and the Stanley Cup this last time around. And, of course, the times when the Rams were in the St. Louis Rams, when they were in the world, I mean, the NFL Championship Series. So there we go. Those are the betting odds at this point. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours for you. First of all, more U.S. troops ordered to the Middle East. And the liberals are blaming the recent violence that's happening there on, no surprise here, President Trump. Now I have a question. We're going to spend some time on this in the next 2 hours. Are you willing, hear me out, are you willing to accept that socialism might actually be better for our nation? I'm just asking the question. We'll get into more details a little bit later. We'll also have a review of the last decade of predictions. Bad predictions. They proved false over and over again. But they were made as a prediction that they would be true, so we should examine them and show, no, they did not. And, of course, let's not forget the Hollywood hatred aimed at conservatives. And it continues. The Hollywood elite can say what they want about President Trump and about you, and no one calls them out. The mainstream media is quiet. Just let them have their say. But if you say anything that they can accuse you with Islamophobia, you're racist, you're homophobic, whatever they want to choose, they will label you quickly. But when the left speaks, they get the pass. By the way, we do have one less candidate in the presidential race. Julian Castro, former Obama housing secretary, dropping out. No money there for him, which means when he leaves, is it possible Hillary Clinton could come back in? You know, there was a December survey that said she would be the leading choice among registered Democrat voters if she jumped in. I'm just raising it as a possibility. I don't think she's going to, but you can never count that woman to take one way or the other. And also, question for you. What happens when you end up having a fire on a New Year's Eve at a nudist colony? Lock and load. We're ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Some folks are born, made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays, they'll keep the cheese. Ooh, they point the cannon at you. Now, it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no senator, song.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here is your red meat. Boiling trouble in the Middle East again. While you were celebrating New Year's Eve, toasting the beginning of a new year and a new decade, 750 U.S. troops were gearing up for deployment to the Middle East. Of course, that follows the attack on our U.S. embassy in Iraq. Now, there's a lot of confusion. I understand it. There's a lot of confusion with a lot of folks in the sense that, wait a minute, our U.S. embassy in Iraq is under attack, but we're blaming Iran. That's because pro-Iranian forces are carrying out the attack. And why did they do that? Well, because they are retaliating after we retaliated. It all started when terrorists sponsored by Iran fired rockets into a U.S. compound, killing an American contractor and injuring some of our troops. Our response was immediately to head back, which I'm glad we did. We don't waste time. We immediately carried out airstrikes against the Iranian-backed Iraqi militia group in Iraq and Syria. So here came the Iranian, quote, protesters to charge into our U.S. embassy in Iraq. And here's something you need to keep in mind. Our U.S. embassy in Iraq, we have our own security inside as we need. But Iraq is also supposed to give us additional protection for our embassy personnel. We're there in their country, and it's also incumbent upon them to help protect our embassy personnel. What did they do? Protesters were able to get inside that heavily fortified green zone because Iraqi security forces apparently just opened the gate, let them through. In other words, go ahead. Do what you can. President Trump, obviously still putting his prime attention on Iran, but make no mistake about it, Iraq is not doing its job to protect our embassy personnel, as they're supposed to be doing. And, of course, the blame for all of this, all of it has to go back to Donald Trump. You have to blame Trump if you listen to the left. Now, how are they twisting this story around? We were attacked first by militia backed by Iran, hitting one of our other compounds, not the embassy in Baghdad, and in the process killing an American contractor and in turn injuring U.S. soldiers. We responded with airstrikes, as I said, hitting those militia targets. And I have no doubt, as I said the other day, I'm sure there were civilian casualties because these cowardly militia terrorists hide behind women's skirts and hide under the beds of children, thinking we will not go after them. We cannot allow them to use any kind of possible defense as that. And if there were civilian casualties, that's regrettable, but not on our hands. It's upon the hands of those that knew we were coming, and they thought we'd hide here, they won't attack us. And now we have the situation where the left is blaming all of it on Trump. I'll repeat again. It started with Iran-backed militia firing rockets onto one of our bases, killing an American contractor, injuring U.S. personnel. We responded with airstrikes against them. And then they come in and start rushing into our embassy in Baghdad with the help of the Iraqis, by the way. So what did Trump do? You know where they're circling back? They're going back to the Obama-Iran nuclear deal. Ben Rhodes, a former national security aide to President Barack Obama, accusing Trump of, quote, pursuing a foreign policy based on Obama envy. And he's talking about the sanctions we placed on Iran. And he said Trump's sanctions on Iran have done nothing to change Iranian behavior except make it worse. He, of course, once described that Iran deal as necessary, even if Iran doesn't change. You remember that deal? We're going to get into it in more detail. But the bottom line was, it was not a treaty passed by the Senate. Obama rushed it through, got it signed off, but it was not a treaty. He simply signed off on it that we would help Iran and release money for them if they would back off of their nuclear development program as far as weapons and allow full and clear and immediate inspections. They do not. They continue to hide what they can. We're still not allowed to get inside facilities, and that's why Trump decided we're done with it. You're not holding up your end of the bargain anyway. It was a bad deal to begin with, so we're walking away from it. But, of course, the left quickly to run around and blame Trump. Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut, Democrat, really hard to overstate how badly Trump has bungled things in the Middle East. Where the hell were these people when Hillary Benghazi Clinton let that event happen? Where were they then? You talk about bungling and costing American lives. Did any one of them speak out against what we did and did not do under Hillary Benghazi Clinton as Secretary of State? Oh, no, I'm sorry. She said, what the hell difference does it make now anyway? As if the deaths of Americans are just something to put aside, a footnote. And again, another Democrat stepping forward. This one, Congressman Jerry Conley of Virginia. He says this breach at the U.S. Embassy compound in Baghdad. He did acknowledge that Baghdad and Iraq are supposed to be helping protect our embassy, but he still wants to turn around and blame Donald Trump.
I would call upon the president to reexamine both his rhetoric and his policies with respect to Iran. Much of this friction and violence flows from his very fateful decision to renounce and walk away from our own agreement that was working, the Iran nuclear agreement, thus severing any working relationship we possibly could have with Iran. And Iran now has very little to lose in the relationship. That puts it in a very dangerous position.
And it was never a true equitable deal. Iran pulled one over on Obama. He, in turn, pulled it over on the U.S. and, of course, also got the permanent members of the U.N. Security Council the United Kingdom, Russia, France, and China, plus Germany and the European Union to sign on with it. Because he was saying this will keep them from pursuing nuclear weapons programs. That's what he claimed it was going to be. The Iran nuclear deal framework was supposed to do that. And do you remember how we got to that point? When it was signed off and announced July 14, 2015, as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action between Iran, and then we withdrew with it less than 3 years later under President Trump, saying we're withdrawing from it. When President Obama signed that deal in May 2015, he was basically saying they will cease their nuclear weapons production and there will be no nuclear weapons on my watch. That was in 2015. He was on the way out the door. And, of course, do not forget what we put in front of them. Money, bags and bags of money. Remember that? We had control of some of their funds, and we promised we would release these funds if they would sign off on this deal and uphold it. But members of the UN, the International Nuclear Weapons Association and inspectors acknowledge we're not able to see anything and everything on spot as we want. We're not allowed to do it. They will not allow us. The whole point was that they would allow free and open inspections at any point, any time. And you know where we're being denied and where the inspectors were being denied a chance to inspect to see what they're doing? Inside their military camps. Now, what do you think Iran would be doing if they are told that we're going to come inspect you? And they'll show you this and they'll show you that. Or they'll clean something up and show you something else. But you're not going to be allowed to get inside their military camps because that's exactly why they're not going to let you into it. But what Obama did in the middle of the night, start shipping a lot of money over to Iran. Remember the plane loads of money? Under that deal, Iran gained access of up to $150 billion in assets previously frozen. Remember, we froze that because they took over our embassy in Iran and took Americans hostage and held them for a year. And we froze all their assets in this country. And also don't forget that part of the Obama deal was to pay cash and negotiate to release hostages. We had never done that, should never do it. Once you do it one time, they're going to expect you to do it every time. Because if you're willing to pay ransom, then they'll come back over and over again. But the Obama administration gave Iran nearly $2 billion in cash in addition to signing the deal if they also released American prisoners who were hostages. That money shipped overnight, remember that? On cargo pallets, small denominations, various currencies, so it could be spread easily throughout the Middle East. And there is no doubt that that money, $2 billion in cash, was used to fund more terrorist operations. And there's no way to effectively trace it. We can always talk about that saying, follow the money. And there's no way to effectively trace it, but there's no doubt that we probably have had U.S. casualties and U.S. attacks paid for that money. Blood money Obama released, sending on pallets overnight in a plane. Because he was so determined to have a legacy that he got a deal with Iran to cease their nuclear weapons arsenal. Well, Trump did not buy it. Trump said the deal's not any good, and I thought he was taking too long to cancel it anyway. He gave them a lot of opportunities to change things, but again, when the inspectors for the UN continued to say that we're not getting full access, then Trump pulled the plug, and I'm glad he did. The deal specifically was to make sure that Iran's enrichment capacity, the enrichment level, the stockpile, would be limited for specific durations. And they were going to be allowed to conduct research and development on centrifuges on an agreed scope and schedule. In other words, they were still going to be able to pursue a nuclear program, quote, to better their country. So it's not just a bunch of rocks in the middle of nowhere. But do you really think they wanted to spend money to improve the lifestyle of their citizens or to continue developing nuclear weapons? When the International Association of Energy Inspectors tried to get a look at all of it, they were not allowed in the areas they needed to be. And now we're seeing, as you heard Congressman Connolly say, I'm blaming all of this on Trump because we're doing more harm to Iran, and that's they have no way out. They're up against a wall. They are suffering. And it is because we made this decision. And it is because we tightened sanctions. But I'm not crying for them. We'll take a break, and I'll come back, and I'll give you more details on what we're doing to crack down in Iran. And yes, we need to keep the pressure up. Failure to keep up this pressure invites disaster.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com. It's been a hard day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So again, when Obama signed off and pushed this nuclear deal with Iran through, he made the Middle East more dangerous. Israel was one of the ones speaking out, obviously saying we cannot have Iran have a nuclear weapon because that's what you're going to end up doing. They're going to do it anyway, whether or not they do it on their timetable as they've already said it, or take some money and kind of buy a little bit more time to perfect it. And keep in mind, despite all the claims of how great the deal was, when the U.S. and Iran made public more detailed descriptions of their agreement, they both acknowledged they had different narratives. Our government published a fact sheet summarizing what it considered the main points of the deal. And shortly after we published it, top Iranian officials, including the Iranian Supreme Leader and the Iranian Minister of Defense, said, no, that's not right. That's not right. That's not at all what it says. And those things have never been resolved. Not that we care now. But you can get a good idea then that there's nothing there that's of value for us. And again, you got Ben Rhodes, as I said earlier, former National Security Aide to President Obama, saying that Trump is pursuing Obama envy and that Trump's sanctions in Iran have done nothing to change Iranian behavior except make it worse. We do know that by pulling out and imposing and increasing restrictions and sanctions, we have had an effect upon Iran and its leadership. New numbers presented by the Iranian president himself, Rouhani. Keep in mind that Iran got up to $150 billion in assets once they signed on that deal with Obama. They got $2 billion in cash immediately, shipped overnight. But now Rouhani said that U.S. sanctions have cost his country some $200 billion. $200 billion. We've deprived them of $100 billion in oil revenue the last 2 years, and that's just part of the money. And yes, it's putting more pressure on their citizens. The Iranian regime trying to crack down on those protests, cutting off cell phone service to parts of the country to prevent demonstrators from coordinating. So, yeah, things have gotten worse there, but not because of us, but because of Iran. And, yes, we put the pressure on. You were not going to do the deal correct anyway. You planned on cheating. You were cheating. And then when Trump said, we're out of here, we're pulling the plug, we're not going to be part of this anymore. Never should have been. It was a sham from the beginning. All it was a legacy-building plot by Obama to leave the office and say, look what I did. I got Iran to agree to no more nuclear production weapons anytime soon. Didn't mean it wasn't going to happen, just not on his watch, and he was going to be able to say, see what I did. And the rest of the world just kind of looked at it. The other countries signing on, they thought they had no choice at that point. The choice was get out, which we had done. And the attitude right now, I'll go back to a statement that was delivered back in 2015 when the Iran Supreme Leader Khomeini said, our policy will not change with regards to the arrogant U.S. government. And it hasn't. Coming up, false predictions of doomsday, but we're still here, breathing.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Maxim Lott for Fox News pulled up some of what they consider the top five most outrageous 2020 doomsday predictions. Let me run through just the headlines quickly, and then we'll go back over them in fact. In 1990, the Washington Post reporting in a front-page story, carbon dioxide is the gas most responsible for predictions that the Earth will warm on an average by about 3 degrees Fahrenheit by the year 2020. 3 degrees. CNN ran a headline in 2003 titled, World and Oil Gas Running Out. Discover magazine in 2000, beginning of this last decade, pointed out 1 billion people will starve due to the tech revolution. Reuters Newswire ran a headline in 97. By 2020, millions will die unless climate policies change. 8 million minimum. Well, none of them, not one of them, have come anywhere close to any of those predictions and dire threats. All right, let's begin with U.S. warming 6 degrees from 1990 to 2020. That's what the Washington Post was claiming. We could warm as much as 6 degrees, the Earth itself an average of 3. That was 1990. 30 years later, we're here at 2020. We've warmed about 1 degree Fahrenheit. And the Earth, about 1 degree. So, those models just not any good? Are they sold on fear? Trying to get folks more involved in, quote, climate change and controls? How about the oil running out by 2020? Now, apparently, in that one, the New York Times was quoting the president of Exxon USA. And what he said more specifically was, that by the year 2020, there would not be enough domestic oil left to keep me interested. And they were suggesting from 1989, untapped pools of domestic oil are finite and dwindling. Well, we do know they're finite, but then again, they did not take into effect American ingenuity. If we're facing a shortage of some type, we find a way to get around it. We work around it. We find a new way. We find a new solution. And that's exactly what we did. We came up with new technology in natural gas fracking. So it wasn't a matter of the fact that the Exxon CEO was saying we would actually be totally dry, but just wouldn't be enough oil left to keep me interested. Well, that's changed. And what about a billion people starving due to the tech revolution? From 2000 to 2020, global extreme poverty, according to the World Bank, fell by about a billion people as technology connected the world and allowed those in developing nations to improve their lives. But again, they were having you believe it was going to be destructive. And then that question or that point from Reuters. The headline again, 1997. Millions will die unless climate policies change. And it was citing a prediction in the Lancet Medical Journal that said 8 million would die by 2020. A climatologist at the University of Alabama in Huntsville said, none of these predictions came true, aren't even close to coming true. And it's amazing the public can continue to believe apocalyptic predictions despite a 95% decline in weather-related deaths in the last 100 years. But again, they continue. They continue. They have another shock report published by the Daily Beast saying that climate change kills 400,000 a year. And one expert looking at it said they say climate change causes everything. Some people try to pin the war on Syria on climate change. And then say when all those people die, it's because of climate change. And he added an important point. They have a secondary agenda. That's exactly true. In many cases, they have not only an agenda, but they have something they want to sell you and for you to put your money into their little plan and their projects. Specifically Al Gore and all of his Inconvenient Truth productions and so forth. And this same expert says, humans are not a curse upon this planet. We're actually a benefit because we are problem solvers. We are creators, not destroyers on average. And when people ask you, when was the best time to be alive? The answer is tomorrow. But the doomsday predictions continue. I just wonder, did somebody predict what happened in Washington State over the New Year's Eve? Did you hear this story? Now, coming out of Texas, I've seen things like this happen, but never to this massive amount. But, I mean, this was Armageddon, Tumblegeddon, actually. What happened in Washington State, drivers being blocked on a state route, suddenly they were caught in something, piling up 30 feet high in front of them. Tractor trailer rigs were shutting down. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't see. Cars couldn't get anywhere. They were covered up. They had to bring in snow plows, and yet it wasn't snow. Tumbleweeds. That's right, tumbleweeds. Around West Richland, Washington. Tumbleweeds start blowing across the highway and stacking up and just close down the route. 20 to 30 feet high in some places. Cars, 18-wheelers trapped until they could bring in snow plows to push the tumbleweeds out of the way. As I said, growing up in West Texas, I saw a lot of tumbleweeds, and I saw a lot of them suddenly clog up a street or a little rural road or something. But that was pretty big, but nobody forecast that Tumblegeddon. There's a movie, my friend. There's a movie. Now, here's something that a scientist wants you to believe will happen and could happen pretty soon. I wouldn't hold your breath for it. This is a physicist by the name of Dr. Matthew Kaplan. I'm going to give him credit because there's also a thin line between credit and blame. He's from Illinois State University. He's developing a new stellar engine concept, which he calls the Kaplan Thruster. Well, sure, why not put your name with it? The Kaplan Thruster. He wants to develop this stellar engine that he says could be used to shift this planet, trillions of miles if we were threatened by a deadly asteroid shower or space explosion. We would fire it up and we would move out of the way. That's science fiction? Larry, you making this up? Did you still have leftover eggnog and champagne? No, I'm telling you, that's what he's predicting. Here's how it would work. It's a giant space station that draws matter from the sun to power a rocket-like thruster. And once matter has entered the engine, it's quickly fired out the back via a nuclear fusion reactor. And that creates enough thrust to push the space station and our solar system to safety. Then a second thruster would fire particles back at the sun. That would ensure the device works like a giant tugboat, pushing the sun from its current location to a new location. It's important to note that this is just a theory now, and his thought, and materials needed to withstand the temperatures that they would need for such an event, if it could happen, and the forces, they don't exist yet. But what if in the future, hundreds or even thousands of years of time, they build a stellar engine, the Kaplan Thruster? We could turn these, as one expert said, I say expert, I use the term kind of loosely, we could turn the entire solar system into our spaceship. For example, we could orbit backwards in the galaxy, colonize hundreds or thousands of stars as we pass by them. It may even be possible to escape the galaxy entirely and expand beyond the Milky Way. Yeah, I can see that happening. The Kaplan Thruster being turned on, they would be calling him, Dr. Kaplan, Dr. Kaplan, we have an asteroid coming right at Earth. What should we do? Call Superman. He's not available. All right, turn on the Kaplan Thruster. Fire it up and push us out of the way. So we'll be saved. And in fact, move the sun while we're at it. And move our galaxy. Move the whole thing. Just relocate. This is a scientist? I mean, what? I've given him some credit here, right? I told you about what he's got going. I mean, I've given him credit. He's got some free air prey out of me. It's the kind of guy that I guess if I had on the air and he started trying to explain it in his terms, technical, I would all get lost. But now we understand the bottom line. The bottom line is you got something, you're calling it the Kaplan Thruster, does not exist, probably never will, but it's got your name on it in the future. So I guess you get a trademark to go with that. But at the same time, move our entire solar system by firing up this device. Now, however, if you had that something similar, a smaller scale, they could have used it the other day in Washington State. Turn on the Kaplan Tumbleweed Dispenser and blow them out of here. Or would they want to move the trucks and cars? This is how we began 2020 with our wackos. It's just beginning, my friend. So what if you had a New Year's Eve party at a nudist colony? At a nudist colony, and they're planning all kinds of great fun because, you know, that's what they're going to do on New Year's Eve. And then in the midst of all the cheer and excitement, you had a fire at the nudist colony. That story coming.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Celebrate.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I know, and I did not watch CNN on New Year's Eve, but I know that they did not cover this story. 65,000 college students gathered in the Atlanta Stadium and continued through New Year's Day and still ringing in the new year, worshiping Jesus. They filled up Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They had various speakers such as Tim Tebow and others coming forward, talking about their relationship with Christ, their personal testimony. And for 3 days, 65,000 of these young people, along with their church and campus leaders, are praising Jesus and looking to increase their worship going into the next decade. Last year, they had something like 40,000 at another event, and they raised about $400,000 to translate the Bible for deaf people around the world. So how did you spend your New Year's Eve? So how about this one? As you know, if you have kids, they want to stay up. I want to stay up. I've told my girls when they were young, you can stay up. Yeah, we can stay up to midnight. Yep, you can. They fall asleep. They never make it. But what if they did stay up that late, and then if you're planning a big party, then yours kind of hampered a little bit to some extent. Depends on if you want to share it with your kids or put them aside. Well, there's a mother that decided she wanted to put her daughter to bed early so she could party with her friends and admit, I just want to get wasted with my friends. But my 6-year-old really wanted to stay up for New Year's Eve. So the 25-year-old mother had a bunch of people over the house, and they turned on a TV, and what she had on the TV was a YouTube video of the ball dropping in 2018. And when the ball dropped, everybody pretended it was 2020. Yay, Happy New Year's, blowing noisemakers, and the little girl was so excited. That was 4 hours before New Year's Eve. And then she tucked the little girl into bed, and she got to go to sleep, Mom said, with a smile on her face. She got to take part and bring in the new decade. Nope, Mom lied, and Mom tricked you. Because she wanted to, as she said, get wasted with her friends. Now Mom's got a little guilt trip going on. Say, I do kind of feel bad. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Because after she put this out on for everyone to see, thinking everybody would think, oh, how smart, that's kind of cute, oh, that's funny. She got hit with a lot of complaints, and people said, that's not so funny. And you had to go get wasted with your friends instead of spend some special time with your daughter to open a new decade. And you wanted to trick her to the extent that she could not partake in the real event. What's your judgment on that, my friend? Was it wrong to trick a 6-year-old? I mean, whether or not you want to get wasted with friends, that you trick them and you shout New Year's Eve, Happy New Year's Eve, and everything like it's all for real and it's not. Before you rush to judgment, where does the Santa Claus story come in the midst of this? Or the Easter Bunny? Well, but Larry, those are time-honored traditions of trickery against children. Well, maybe this will be a time-honored tradition going forward, because if you have a young child in the future, our grandchild, and they want to stay up and say, and you just want to go to bed. Put on the tape of the 2019 ball dropping, say, hey, Happy New Year, blow the horns, and everybody goes to bed. It's over. It's all here. Unless they know how to read a clock. If they know how to read a clock, somebody's got some splaining to do. When this girl gets a little older and realizes what Mom did, is she be upset or anything? I mean, it's, again, you can criticize her and you can make a lot of noise over it and everything, but you also have to remember the stories we tell children, the tricks we play on them for a certain time until they say, I know there's no Santa Claus, you can stop with that nonsense. By the way, if there's some young children listening right now to that, there really is. I'm just playing along with the adults, so don't pay attention to me at this point. But what if you had a New Year's Eve party and you were going to call it a nude Year's Eve party? And everybody's going to come to this resort nude, bare butt naked, They had one of those in West Virginia, Pawpaw, West Virginia. It's called Avalon Resorts Lodge. And fire broke out. Firefighters from three different states had to deal with this major blaze at a nudist resort. Since then, the Avalon website says, and they're, by the way, they're only 2 hours in D.C., so we don't have a list of those who attended. Not yet. But on New Year's Eve, they point out, we had a fire. Thankfully, no one injured. The aquatic center not affected. The Nudesino needs some work and cleanup. I have no idea what that is. The Nudesino, I have no idea. They also say the Bear Barn was untouched. I think I can figure out what the Bear Barn was. No, not bear as in an animal, but bear as in butt naked. You know that. My question, though, is if this started with someone with a match, someone with a match at a nudist colony, where did they put the match? Just asking. Next hour, news and commentary. Also, the Hollywood elites who continue to trash Trump and you. All coming up. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.